your website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma or political rhetoric, but based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is God's word that is the first, foremost, and final authority in anything that we say or do as we live in this world today. And as we talk about issues, we're talking about an issue today that I believe needs to be at the very forefront of this election cycle. We've got just a few days, ladies and gentlemen, as voters, as citizens in America, just a few days to determine the destiny of our nation. So the question is, just what kind of a nation would you want? What kind of a nation do we want to have as America? Is it okay to ignore God's plan? Is it okay to ban God's word and reject Jesus and still expect God to bless America? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue, thou shalt not kill. Exodus 20:13 is the text. What is it about that that we don't understand? What is it about thou shalt not kill that seems to be oblivious in the minds and the hearts of so many on the left today? I call them the loose, likes, lost liberals. Just recently, in one of Kamala Harris's so-called speeches, when some folks in the audience, a couple of young men, said Christ is King and Jesus is Lord, she ordered them out and said, maybe you need to be in a meeting a little further down the street. That's not the place for it here. We shouldn't be surprised, because just a few years ago, that same organization, that same structure, simply left God out of their platform of what they're wanting to accomplish in the leadership role for America. Ladies and gentlemen, thou shalt not kill is what we're talking about. And when we focus on thou shalt not kill, we're going to be talking about this broadcast today, focusing on analyzing, scrutinizing Amendment 4. Ladies and gentlemen, there are four proposed amendments on this election cycle on the ballot when you walk in the ballot box to vote. The question is, how are you going to vote? We're going to have a special guest that we'll introduce in a moment. But first of all, let me give a brief monologue to build up to where we're going and what we're wanting. But ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you, you're invited to call at any time after the monologue. Our telephone lines will be open. We invite your telephone call, your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue today. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. After our monologue, that telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement about the word of God, thy word is truth. In Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So we're talking about truth today. That's a word that I really believe that the Biden-Harris administration or should I say the Harris-Waltz proposed administration, cannot identify, cannot talk about, because truth is not part of their vocabulary. There's a flip-flop on everything that's been said. We'll briefly talk about some of that in just a moment before we get into the analysis and the dissecting of Amendment 4, the proposed amendment that will allow the murder of babies in the mother's womb based on a constitutional amendment, based on a, quote, constitutional right. So let me just insert this question. Do you believe that in the state of Florida there should be a codified constitutional right to murder? If that is the case, why don't we come up with some other? Maybe I'm speaking too soon. Maybe we need to have a constitutional right for adultery. Maybe there needs to be a constitutional right for murder. That is, by the way, what this amounts to. Maybe there needs to be a constitutional right for drunks. A constitutional. When are we going to stop codifying things that are immoral, unholy, ungodly, codifying them in our Constitution? The Florida Constitution, since 1973, has been modified 127 times, and yet our federal Constitution, in the life of it, has been modified 27 times. We're making Swiss cheese out of our Constitution in the state of Florida. But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to the thought of truth in what's done and said. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be truthful, if I can use that term, today. We find those in all segments of society. If you talk about theological doctrinal issues and you speak from the level of biblical truth, you're challenged. If you talk about murder by way of abortion, you have those that say that's a woman's right. If you have any element of society that we're speaking of, and you stand on truth, you'll have those who want to chide, challenge, reject what is being said. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline I'm looking at, DeMint warns that America's decline is linked on the death of truth. In this article, Jim DeMint says, and I quote, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. And yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Absolute truth. They simply say, and I quote, each person determines his or her own version of truth. That is simply not true, if I can say that today. It is simply not true. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day to our audience as we face the issues, is to seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You won't find a truth by listening to MSNBC, et cetera, et cetera. You'll find truth in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We need to seek it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and defend truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and has the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, the knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the beltway of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's an identifier. A benchmark is a 165-foot flagpole, and the top of that flagpole is Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing. And ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com, www.thetruthfinder.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, we'll introduce our very special guest today that we're going to be talking about Amendment 4. And may I suggest to you that you pick up the telephone, call others, ask them to tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion today. And if you want to call in and be live on the radio broadcast with your question or comment, feel free to dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm looking at an article that's by Walker Wildman. He's the CEO of the American Family Association. And this is what he says. We're just days away from a critical election. And I can't stress enough how important your vote is as a believer in this moment in our nation's history. He further says, this isn't just about politics. It's about stewardship. God created government, and he calls us to act wisely in this area. God entrusts us to make wise choices about the leaders we select. When we choose to disengage from politics, we end up neglecting one of the areas of stewardship that God has placed us in purview over. God has blessed us with the opportunity to elect our leaders. We cannot afford to just sit this one out. When Christians make the choice to disengage, it leaves room for politics and leaders that don't reflect biblical views and values. We simply cannot let this happen in our nation. I couldn't have said it better myself, ladies and gentlemen. We're in a dead heat, as they would call it, in a race leading up to the election in just a few days. The proposed leadership, the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz leadership, I believe today, have no interest in morals, ethics, and values in our nation. They have no interest in biblical standards. And from their standpoint, God is not allowed in any discussion. The Bible is banned. Jesus Christ is rejected. And so we need to be very, very careful about what we do in this election cycle. Just a few days to go, we'll make the determination of where we're going in our nation. There's six amendments, ladies and gentlemen, proposed amendments on this ballot that will change our Constitution in the state of Florida. Now, let me just do this little parenthetical footnote. I'm 100% against modifying our Constitution. We need to go through the legislative process, but multitudes of deep-pocketed entities, when they determine that what they're wanting to do will not pass muster, as the old cliche goes, through the legislative process, they go through the process then of getting petitions signed, and in this case with Amendment 4, the murder by way of abortion amendment, they've spent millions upon millions of dollars just to get it to this point on the ballot. And ladies and gentlemen, it's deceptive. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that if this takes place, if Amendment 4 is approved and takes 60 votes plus one, 60% plus one, over 60% is what it takes. If that takes place, the state of Florida will become the murder capital of America, the murder capital of America. With the six amendments, and we've talked about them for the past several weeks on this broadcast, we're going to just chisel down and focus on Amendment 4 today, and I call it Thou Shall Not Kill. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today we're blessed to have Tawana Amon with us. Tawana is welcomed on Let's Face the Issues because Tawana is involved in the life movement, the pro-life movement in South Florida. Tawana is going to be with us in just a moment to discuss Amendment 4. Tawana is the head of the Broward County, I believe it is, Right to Life movement. Tawana loves the Lord. She has a passion, ladies and gentlemen, for encouraging women to keep their babies and to grow them up to love the Lord. Tawana, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for taking time to be on the air with us today. And I pray that God will give you the words that will impact hearts and lives to make the choice and decision that's necessary in this election in the next few days to vote no on Amendment 4. So, Tawana, would you take a moment, just a few minutes, to tell our audience who you are, introduce yourself, and why you are passionate about this issue?
Well, Gene, I just want to say first, can I say amen and amen and amen again to everything that you said?
Absolutely. Amen and amen some more. That's good. Thank you.
Amen. Because if we don't stand for truth, then we'll fall for anything. And I mean, the basis of what we believe in is absolute. we're not relative. We believe in God's word. We stand on his truth. And that's what we fight for, even if we have to stand alone. And my story is one that I've been the director of Broward Right to Life for almost 26 years. I work with my husband, who's the president, and we work in the field of trying to reach women who are contemplating abortion. I actually am doing a post-abortion Bible study right now. The women are coming to the class at the church that my husband and I attend, and we are working through a Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free, which is helping them understand God's love and forgiveness for them. They've had abortions. They're hurting. They're struggling with it, and they're trying to make peace with it. And me, having gone through that myself in my teen years, can relate and understand and also claim the healing power of Jesus and the ability to be able to speak into their lives, because he healed me, and if he did it for me, he will do it for you. And my passion is to help women understand that when I was pregnant, I wasn't given any information. I was very pressured. It was almost like I was being led to the slaughter, sad to say, but I really didn't have an option. And when I got to the abortion facility, there wasn't any information given. There wasn't any description of what was going to happen to me. I didn't get anything about risks and complications. And I was very traumatized. I was upset. I was crying. And the woman who signed me in and gave me the release form and told me to sign on the dotted line said, you know, my friend, women go through this all the time. They struggle. They make peace with it. It's the right thing for you to do. You'll go on. You'll have more kids, and life will continue. And when you're at a place where, I mean, I had accepted Jesus when I was 12 through a Bible study. I'd gotten invited to a ranch group through the Florida Bible Church. And I love Jesus. I knew he died for me. I knew he was with me. I've never doubted that, no matter what I've gone through in my life. He's with me. He's been with me. He works it all together for good. Because even though I drifted, because I didn't understand boundaries or healthy relationships or drawing boundary lines, I got into that unhealthy relationship and got pregnant at 18. And then that's when the pressure came, and I didn't know what I was doing, didn't understand, but God in his faithfulness in my mid-20s started drawing me back to himself, and that's when the reality of the abortion came to hit me hard, painfully so, very overwhelming, very, very distraught, and God brought me counseling. He brought me healing. I went through a Bible study, and there were so many things that I went through to find that peace and comfort, but it's a road, and I think so many women, they really, when they find out they're pregnant, they are overwhelmed. It is scary. You know, 85% of the women are unmarried, so they're alone. They feel alone. And then over 50% of the women claim that it's either a boyfriend or a parent that's pressuring them, or a friend moving them in that direction. So it really isn't only the woman's choice. There's many other people involved. But women don't understand that we're born to be mothers. We're maternal. We're born to have children. That's how we were created. And God said for us to multiply and replenish the earth. And so when we have an abortion, it goes against our natural instincts. So when it finally does, women on average, about, they say 7 years is how long they stay in denial. And then it'll be either they want a child, or they understand what abortion is, or they can't have children. But it brings to light what's happened to them. And then they fall into a depression, which is what I'm working through right now with the women I'm counseling. That's a little overview.
Tawana, I am thankful for that wonderful testimony, and it's my prayer that our listeners today will take heed, hear, and understand, and apply that when there's the thought about voting yes or no on the proposed Amendment 4 for the state of Florida. Wanda, if you'll hold your thought a moment, I believe we have James on the line. James, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, fantastic opening to the show. Tawana, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. As you said amen three times, I said God bless you and continue to do so. You're a light in a dark place, sharing your testimony and letting people know the devil is the father of lies. And that guilt that these poor women that, and you know, have gone through, and then they eat themselves up. You know, Jesus on the cross said, "Tetelestai, the debt is paid, it is finished." And that was it, and he meant it. In the world, when somebody has a debt, they might say if it goes into bankruptcy or it's charged off or it's done. And I think women, the world makes them feel like if they made a decision like that, the devil's there to whisper and say, you're done. You're never going to be good enough. We're always going to be good enough. His sacrifice made our sins as white as snow. And God bless you for what you're doing, and continue to do that great work. And Dr. Youngblood, phenomenal guest, great, unbelievable opening to your show. And please, pastors that are listening and the congregation members that are out there listening, get your pastors to call in and be courageous. You won't have to answer to me, but you know darn well who you're going to have to answer to if you don't start to engage your people. As my friend Charlie Kirk said in Turning Point USA, he was interviewing some gal, and she was talking about how it's just a fetus. And he said, you understand what the, I can't remember if it was Latin or Greek definition of fetus is. It's a small person, a small child, a fetus in utero. We can't just charge it off like that. It's not. But there's always forgiveness, and there's always repairs and renewal, and the Lord will carry us. I mean, I was reading Isaiah this morning, and he said, I will carry you to your old, to your hairs are gray. I will carry you. I will deliver you. I will rescue you, and he will.
Amen. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your comments. It's on, how would you say, an inspiration and encouragement. It should be for every listener today. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Tawana, let's just do some hypothetical proposals. What if we've got some listeners today that they're torn as to what to do, committing murder? And by the way, I call it that. Some might find it offensive. But there's the mindset, and Kamala Harris has made her entire presidential run on the basis that she's going to make it federal law for the right of reproductive women's health. How do you consider that? Should it be called the right of women's reproductive health? What is really taking place? And with that thought, give some words of encouragement and challenge young lady that's listening, that may be expecting in a quandary as to what she should do. What directions would you give her? What instructions would you give her? What challenge would you give to her? And what should she do?
Oh, what a great question, Gene, because I think that the enemy is alive and well, and he lies and deceives. And what he does is works through the hearts of men and women, like with Kamala Harris, with reproductive freedom, my body, my choice. But what's really sad about that is in the 60s and 70s, when this sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture came about, and when this idea that we didn't have to take responsibility anymore, we didn't have to have consequences anymore. It's like in the beginning with Adam and Eve, when the enemy lied and said, take the fruit because you won't suffer any consequences. You won't die. Your eyes will be opened and you'll know good from evil. And I think what happens is the woman is encouraged to end the baby's life, to experience freedom. Like this lie that Kamala is spreading is that this is a maternal, this is a child in the womb, this is separate from you, it's a separate entity, this child has its own fingerprints and his or her own blood type. This is a child that when that birth occurs, the child comes out and everything comes out with it, because that child was housed in your womb to be carried to term. Not, it is unnatural for an abortion to take place. And what I think is sad is that women will say in the majority of cases that it's the wrong time, that they're not ready, that they are focused on career or education. The majority of abortions, on the 60%, are in women in their 20s. They're not teenagers. So this selfishness, this focus on self, I mean, it's so interesting when you think about it. If a child is wanted, if that mother has been waiting for a baby, can't have a child, and finds out she's pregnant, she's going to track that child's development from the moment she finds out. She's excited about the growth. She celebrates the growth. It's a blessing from the Lord. This is a gift from God. But if you don't want the child, then you focus on the fact that it's a blob, it's a mass, it's not really, it's insignificant. But that's, see, another lie. They're all lies, because what happens is the women I'm counseling are realizing that they aren't blobs. This was my firstborn or my secondborn. This was a child. I remember counseling a woman who volunteered for us, and she had two abortions, one at 15, so she's young, and the other at 17. And when she came to me in her early 30s, she had two children. They were young, but she could not get over the abortion. She could not shake it. She had dreams about the loss. She would sit at the table and she would envision the two empty seats because she loved her children so much. She loved her two boys. She valued her two boys, and she realized that she was missing four or missing two, and that caused trauma. And she, like Jim said so well in the call, that we can find healing. We can find forgiveness. So all of those out that are listening, because there's many that are hearing this message that are going, I had an abortion, I still feel condemned. I mean, one of the ways that you know you're healed is if it still doesn't cause pain. One of the women at the talk that I had last night said, oh, every time I hear abortion, I wince. Every time I hear abortion, I have to leave. I just can't cope with it, because she's not healed. She's not free yet. And so for me, I can talk about it because God has healed. God has restored. So for those that are still in that place where they're wounded, they're hurting, there's healing in Jesus' name, there's freedom in Jesus' name, and the Word of God has the power to heal. So it's going to His Word and understanding that the Scriptures are clear on forgiveness, that He died for you, that He can wash you clean and make you white as snow. And there's pregnancy centers, because I know I'm in South Florida, Jean is in Jacksonville. There's pregnancy centers there that offer post-abortion care. There's pregnancy support after abortion online that you can call if you don't feel comfortable making that going in, because some people don't. They're ashamed. I mean, there are studies that show women don't even put the abortion on their doctor's form when they are in for some kind of checkup, because they're afraid that if something ever happened to them, someone in their family would find out they had an abortion. That's how much shame and guilt is surrounded. So when someone is saying, oh, I'm pregnant, I can't have a baby right now, I don't want a baby right now, well, first I'd say, I had an abortion. And I think it's the most selfish thing that I've ever done. Now, I've been redeemed and I've been healed. But I have to tell you, it is selfish, because there are women that would die to have a baby that can't have them. There are so many waiting for children that are hoping that one day someone will place their baby for adoption so they can raise that child as their own. And being selfless, I mean, that's what Jesus did for us. I mean, the irony of how God came into the world through Mary, through a mother. He could have come any way, but He came as a child. He came as a baby. And the irony that we as a world, as a community, would take life and just end it. And, you know, when I'm talking to women, I'll say, what do you think they do to those babies? I mean, these aren't blobs. I mean, the heartbeat begins at 21 days. The baby at the moment of conception, the eye color, the hair color, everything is determined. That child has a name. God said He was created in the womb, and He is fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you give that child life, you don't know what that child will become. He could be the next president, hopefully conservative. Amen.
Yes. Tawana, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, you need to know, Tawana is our dear niece. She loves the Lord. We're thankful that she's part of the family. We praise the Lord for her testimony, for her stand. And Tawana, before we take our top of the hour news break, you are the chairperson of the head of the Broward County Right to Life. Tell me how many people you have working with you, and what are some of the exceptional cases you've seen in going to the murder clinics and standing out and trying to counsel with the people to try to prevent the abortions. Just a brief thought on that before we take our news break.
Well, we have a large number of volunteers that work with us, that stand with us, that help us, and I do a lot of going into churches and raising awareness and talking to pastors and leaders, because I want them to know what I've gone through, because there's women in their congregation. They say the studies are 1 in 4, and if they remain silent, the women will stay suffering in silence. So I'm encouraging them to either bring me in or let someone within their congregation that's been healed to rise up and to speak out and to be a voice for the voiceless.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thankful for that. And Tawana, if you will, hold your thoughts. Hang in there.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ.